Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Derrick, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, now south of 12th Hour Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 15, 2017, or this evening, 21, 2021. We will start our second service on this day with a song entitled No Tears in Heaven. No tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join a happy band. No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Glory is waiting, waiting up yonder, where we shall spend an endless day. There with our Savior will be forever, where no more sorrow can dismay. No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Some morning yonder we'll cease to ponder for things this life has brought to you. All will be fair, loved ones be dear, in heaven where all will be made new. No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. King of Heaven, Part 4, we're going to continue our study now with, we're in Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to haul laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Okay, so when even was come, Yahshua of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Now here's where an interesting point comes in. It says, So when even was come. Well, even came at the last hour of the daylight. That was at the beginning of the 12th hour. At the close of the 11th parabolic hour is when the evening approached and was there. So parabolically, 2002 at Kermit, Texas, starting at the Passover, we came to the close of the 11th hour at the evening, Now there's two evenings. The end of the 11th hour is an evening. There's the end, there's the beginning of the 12th hour is the evening. Okay, so each parabolic hour gets a closing evening, and the one succeeding it gets a beginning evening. Okay, so now, and when they came that were hard about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost not thou agree with me for a penny? Now who is this one that he answered this one and said unto him, unto them? He answered that one, the 11th hour servant, the last one that worked and bore the heat of the day. He said that, that last one was one that was grumbling. And that last one in the antitype in our day today in the parable was Willis W. Johnson. This is where that verse 13 applies to. He was the one that come complaining because when it became obvious unto Willis and Gilead Center that there was a shake-up taking place in Kermit, there was a shake-up, and that shake-up started before the Passover 2002. That shake-up started in January of 2001, whenever I instigated and initiated Matthew 18 against one of the members of the congregation. And Brother Johnson took that person's side against me. Yahweh prevailed with me, Matthew 18, and it took 18 months for that brain judgment from the time I initiated it in January until the atonement of 2002. I believe it's around 18 months, 17 to 18 months. It took 18 months to bear fruit. But that's when the shake-up started. 18 months before the atonement. And of 2002. So anyway, it says, Matthew 20, verse 14, take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Now he said he's going to give unto this last. Now who was the last? Elijah David was the last one that was called at the evening of the evening hour, the last hour of the daylight, to take charge of the kingdom from the one that had it in the 11th hour, and that was Brother Samson. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last, once called at the 12th hour, shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Now, what does that altogether mean? Willis Johnson was the first one to be called at the 11th hour to have a ministry in the 11th parabolic hour. And that was the 2 hours before sundown, believe it or not, called at the 11th hour. 2 hours before sundown of the 12th hour, Brother Johnson was called. So he had one full parabolic hour to work in the 11th parabolic hour. And so he was the first called to what? given the first opportunity to harvest. So he believed that he was in the last parabolic hour, and he called it the 11. And the scriptures plainly tell us that the last parabolic hour is set aside for harvesting. And that's what Brother Johnson preached for 33 years that I was with him, that as soon as the time comes, we're going to harvest the first 144,000. Right now we're just planting a seed. We're going to harvest the 144,000, then we're going to harvest a great multitude, and then we're going to harvest the 200 million, and we're going to harvest all those in Babylon. So Brother Johnson had it all laid out, and this is going to take place in the last parabolic hour. And we're in that parabolic hour, so therefore, that he was 2 hours removed, 1 hour removed from the harvest hour, 2 hours removed from the going down of the sun and probation code. And Vitalis was in the same boat. He taught that the 11th hour was the last hour, and that he had the 11th hour, he had the harvest hour. Enrode and Vitalis' successor taught the same thing. And so now you have Elijah David here showing about the last. And indeed, we represent that last group of laborers as hard Matthew 20, verse 6, where it says, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand you here all the day idle? Showing that he went out in the evening at the closing of the 11th hour. Because he said, you've been standing here all day idle. So that shows that it wasn't in the morning that he went out and tried to hire those standing idle. It was in the evening. So that shows right there that he went out at the closing of the 11th hour to hire the fifth group of laborers, Matthew 20, verse 6, which is the house of David, purified kingdom of heaven. That's what he went out to hire. That's what Yahshua went out to hire. And that's the last time that the steward of the vineyard, the householder of the vineyard, went out and hired laborers into the vineyard. The fifth and last group was the last one that Yahshua ever hired. Because when they bring forth the first fruits harvest of the 144,000, that just means that all of a sudden now the harvest doesn't mean people that are hired to labor in the vineyard, although indirectly that's what it will end up being. 144,000 then will automatically take their position upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And when they do this, they will be harvesting. They will be harvesting, preparing for the harvest of the great multitude. So they got their work cut out for them. Okay. Now, in the White House recruited by the V.T. Hollis, it's a track. I don't know what track number that is. Anyway, it's the White House recruited, and we're on page 12. The issue is of the greatest gravity. Yahshua foreknow it would be an supreme concern. He projected it in the crowning lesson of his parable of the vineyard. Now the time has come for the last parabolical hour. He has set the parable ablaze with the light. To be progressive as the truth itself is, let us look deeper into the parable now while the light of Yahweh is shining on it. And as he's shining on it right now, I knew, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is in the household, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is not I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, the two were connected together, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Matthew 20, verse 1 and 2. Now there's a lot of farmers that come to the marketplace every day to hire laborers, no doubt, in the harvest time. And this is where, but Yahshua is hiring his last group for it is to go into the vineyard to harvest. Not to work and sow seed, but to go into a vineyard and harvest. That's his fifth group of laborers. That was their calling. All those first four groups of laborers that was called before them, Adventists was the fourth group, they were called to work in the heat of the day of sowing seed around the world. And they did for 158 years of 2002, they did that for 158 years. But they were the fourth group of laborers, and they were not harvest laborers, because there was no harvest to be harvested that was ripe. Besides the Adventists, they could only sow the seed, because they never did purify their congregation to have people qualified to harvest. So for 158 years, they never made an attempt to purify their congregation. Brother Johnson, for 33 years, had the tail end of the Adventist movement, and he never made no move ever for 33 years to ever sanctify the congregation, because he thought that they were, as long as they believed the truth that he was teaching, they were already sanctified. So that was quite a dilemma. That was quite a trap to fall into, both Satan, but Brother Johnson fell into it. So it says here on page 13 of this tract of Ethiopia, how can we know for a certainty in which hour we find ourselves if our own call to service has come? We can know only by the establishing of the time in which the last parabolic hour expired. And to do this, we must first establish the call of the first call for service. Then in turn, the time of each successive call culminating with the last. First, though, pursuant unto this, we must bring into focus the parable's significant points. Number one, the householder, as every Bible student knows, is Yahshua himself. Now, Vitalis says Lord here, but it's spelled in upper and lower case, and we always know that lends to it being Yahshua the Son. And this is what I believe as well. Okay, number two, for the laborers are his servants. So, Brother Johnson was a servant of Yahshua. Okay. Elijah David became a servant of Yahshua as well. Number three, the penny is a reward. In other words, eternal life for all of those that purify their soul. And have it ready to go when the atonement comes, when the judgment starts at the house of Yahweh. Number four, his vineyard is the place where they are to labor. Number five, the day is parabolical, representing a period of time which is illuminated by some great light. Number six, the period of labor is both preceded and succeeded by a night, else there could be no early and no late part of the day. Number seven, the householder hires laborers at five different times. Number eight, there are 4 3-hour periods. Number nine, in each of the first three periods, only one group is hired. Number 10, in the fourth and last period of 3 hours, two groups are hired, and that's your fourth and fifth group, Matthew 20, verse 5, the ninth hour of labors, and Matthew 20, verse 6, the 11th hour call, are the two that are hard in those, in that 3 hours of the last four, of that fourth 3 hour segment. Number 11, the agreement for a penny a day is made only with the first group. Number 12, the other groups are to receive whatsoever is right. At the day's end, all are given the same pay, a penny. Even though the last worked only an hour, the first was paid last and the last was paid first. Now to find out in which hour we are told, go ye also into the vineyard. It says, we must, here at the outset of this go-to-work study, determine where in time the parable begins and where it ends. To gain this vital knowledge is simply to reckon that the sequentially amplifying facts of the parabolical night, which precede the parabolical day, must necessarily be the periods before the spiritual light of the world. The Bible came up before the light of the Scriptures, the written word of Yahweh began to shine forth into the hearts of men. But back there, it must be remembered the will of Yahweh was transmitted not by the Bible, but orally from Father to Son. Just as the light of the sun at night is transmitted onto the earth by the moon, rather than directly by the sun itself, for this reason it has come to be regarded as the time of the oral tradition. But today, the labor obviously represents the period in which the light of the world, the parable itself, lightens man's path. Thus it is that in his parable, the master, the Yasir of the vineyard, regards the Old and the New Testament dispensation as the only day period of all for the probationary time, in which he goes to the marketplace at the five consecutive times the hour of labor to work in his vineyard. Finally, the night following the day can only represent the period after the gospel work is finished. After probation for man's salvation is closed, then as the light of the world, the word of Yahweh, sinks beyond the horizon of the day, darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. Isaiah 60 verse 2. It is the time which finds the destiny of every being forever fixed. Then follows the Yahshua's irrevocable finality. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Revelation 22:1. It is the time when men shall run to and fro to seek the word of Yahweh and shall not find it. Amos 8:12. The time when the unmindful of the master's call and the impenitent of the sin realize and cry out in the frenzied and agonized despair. The harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. The truth is now become clear that the parable divides the time of salvation into two equal parts of the 12 symbolical hours each. The period before the Bible of the night and the period during the Bible of the day, lending additional force to the fact that the parable thus divides time that should for the Yahshua declared, are there not 12 hours in the day? And a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world, John 11:9. Well, if you believe, if you're a prophet and you're put in charge of the temple and the candlestick, you're put in charge of Yahweh's kingdom, and you're placed upon the throne of the kingdom, and Yes, sir, says there's 12 hours a day, and you keep telling him, no, there's only 11 in the day. And so he's going, what's he going to do if he can't get you to come to the light and see that there's 12 hours a day and not 11? Well, he's going to say to that servant, if he can never see the light on the 12 hours a day, then he's going to stumble from there on in. He's just going to stumble until he dies. That's exactly what happened with Kermit. They came to the end of the 11th hour and they couldn't go no further. They didn't have no oil. The light has gone out in the lamp and they couldn't go no further. But the ones that had the extra oil in their lamp, because when I walked out of that church, that building that day, July 27, 2002, and I said, I will never go back to these doors again. I looked up in the sky and I said, Heavenly Father, I don't know where I'll go from here. I don't know what I'll do. But all I know is you'll guide me, because I'm not going back in there no more. Because you're forever through at that place, and I am too. You pull me out of there. So I said, I feel like 1,000 pounds had rolled off my shoulders. I felt like a bird out of a cage that I had been delivered. I felt free for the first time in all my life. And especially the last 33 years with Gilead Center, I felt actually I had been delivered. I was set free. And Yahweh didn't disappoint me. He sent His Son. His Son had already given me the leadership back in the by the atonement of 2003. He had already surely transferred the leadership to us. And so, but I was kicked out of the church before atonement of 2003. I was kicked out in July. About 6 weeks later, I was kicked out. I'd already been kicked out on July 27th. And about 6 weeks later, there's the atonement. But Yahweh told me then, he said that when our time was up there, I thought we'd leave out by the atonement of 2003, but he kept us over till the second Passover of 2003, and then that's when he thrust us out of there. But he let me know that we were in charge, and he was giving me messages every day, so I felt comfortable just worshiping in my own house every Sabbath day and holding meetings there. All right. So anyway, it says, are there not 12 hours a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world, John 11:9. Proceeding now, we come to another point of the special significance. So the first four groups were hired at the consecutive intervals, three parabolical hours apart, whereas the fifth, the last group, the one hired at the end of the 11th hour, came only 2 instead of 3 hours later than the fourth group. But the thing is, though, the 11th hour came 2 hours later than, he said, the fourth group, but the thing is, the fourth group also occupied the 11th hour. So you see, Viti Halafi, he thought he was that fifth group occupying the 11th hour, and that's when he said what he said here. The fourth group in Adventist, Viti Halafi thinking, he's thinking that the fourth group only had the 9th hour, and instead they had the 10th hour. And Viti Halafi was part of the 10th hour laborers of the fourth group. He didn't even know that. He thought he was called to head up the fifth group, the 11th hour, the last hour. And so, thus only one parabolical hour before the day's end, shortly before probation closes. So where he failed to make a point here was he didn't put the 12 in there again. If he'd have said, thus only one parabolical hour, the 12th, before the day's end. shortly before probation period. But he couldn't do that because he was teaching, he was in the last parabolical hour, and it was the 11th hour. So he couldn't bring in number 12 there. So this 2 hour period from the 9th hour to the 11th, there's only 1 hour between the 9th hour and the 11th, not 2 hours. So that's another place where he made a slip up. This 2 hour period, if he's going to use the 9th and the 11th hour, he has to use 1 hour period. And that would be the 10th sandwich in between the 9th and the 11th. So I'm gonna correct it here now. For this 2 hour period from the 9th until the 12th hour, the last parabolical hour on the time clock, is a singularity which comes as a climatic exception to the master pattern of the sequential and regular 3 hour intervals between the calls. For it obviously reveals that the last call comes unexpectedly at the end of the 11th hour at the Kermit, Texas, 2002, at the Passover, and surprisingly within the period of the 9th hour group. Isn't this something? And surprisingly within the period of the 9th hour group. Now, if he's holding on to the 11th hour, as the hour that he was in, so he said in the 9th hour group was the 4th group, the Advent, and all the time V.P. Hollis was part of that 4th group of the 9th hour call of labor. Hence there are only 2 parabolical hours for the 1 group, that's the 4th group, which V.P. Hollis was a part of, and only 1 parabolical hour for the other group, and V.P. Hollis says, well, I'm that other group, and I'm the one with the last parabolical hour. Yet he can't mention number 12, and he can't mention, he could have justifiably mentioned 12 at least twice up to this point here, but he didn't do it because he didn't know to. And Yahweh kept his hand on it, and for a very good reason. Because now we can explain why Vitti Alder came to his untimely end in 1955, or was it a biblical timely end, which I believe it was. That he came to his prophetic end in 1955, according to prophecy. He had to end that way because of his not understanding the hours in which he was in. Okay? So to determine the identity of the laborers participating in each of the 5 different calls, we necessarily begin our quest with the servants of the first call. Okay? We have already seen that it is the Bible, the spiritual light of the world, that makes the parabolical day. We all know, moreover, that the Bible arrived with the Exodus movement. Also, that since the arrival, the Yahshua never bargained, as it were, with another people, and that they were the only one unto whom he ever committed the ceremonial covenant and all their rewards and promises. Inescapably, therefore, the first group of the parable, those who went to labor early in the morning, at the rising of the spiritual light, the Bible, and with whom the bargain was made to receive a penny a day, were ancient Israel as they were going out of Egypt, with the time of which was early in the parabolical day, and contoured the spirit of the prophecy declared. For the Jews had been first called into the Yahshua's vineyard, Christ's object lesson, page 400. At that early hour, as Yahweh began to indict the scriptures, as the light that lightens the earth, or the hearts of men began to rise, he remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and unto Israel for an everlasting covenant. Psalm 105, verse 8 to 10. having thus by the first call for service solidly established the time in which the parabolical go-to work call started, we are now to ascertain the call time and work period of the service of the second call. So Moses and the children of Israel had the first call about 1500 B.C. out of Egypt. The second call, the second group, those sent at the third parabolical hour, must necessarily be the ones who were called to work next. And they were the early apostolics, significantly enough too, the Yeshua was crucified at the third hour of the day, Mark 15:25. And likewise, Pentecost came at the third hour of the day, Acts 2:15. Another point of significance of which we should take note is the fact that the messages borne by these first two groups, by the ancient Israel and by the early apostolic Nazarenes, of the disciples, with Yahshua as their leader, were not of a reformatory nature. They were not old, forgotten truths in the process of revival and reformation, or restoration. Rather, each was a new revelation, meet in due season, present truth, especially adapted fully to meet the needs of the people and their respective times. For the former group, were inspired and commissioned to teach and practice the truth of the salvation as embodied in a ceremonial system. The latter group were inspired and commissioned to teach and practice the same immutable truth in their advanced life. Advanced from the typical to the antitypical representation, from the administration in the earthly tabernacle and the administration in the heavenly one, that is, from the sacrifice of the lamb of the flock unto the sacrifice of Yahshua himself, the Lamb of Yahweh. Thus the latter group taught the old truths in a new and original light, in the light of the gospel, that the Yahshua was crucified for the remission of sin, resurrected in triumph over sin and death, and ascended to make atonement and reconciliation for the penitent sinner, not in an earthly but in an heavenly tabernacle. Since the messages of the first two groups, the one carried by the Exodus movement and the other carried by the apostolics, Nazarenes, were each in their respective times fresh from the glory. That fact logically establishes itself as the divine precedent and pattern for all the messages of the parable. So apparently the three messages that followed then, those three movements of William Miller, the Seventh-day Adventist, and now the Everlasting Kingdom of David, the lawgiver, tribe of Judah, is in charge now of this last movement and the last messages. Each of the three remaining groups must likewise be entrusted with the message of the new and distinctive revelation of the meat and due season. That's why we were called to take the place of the fourth group of laborers that finished up in 2002 at Kermit. Truth adapted especially and sorted to meet the needs of Yahweh's people at the time, then present, therefore we need only to trace down through the annals of the church history, the unfolding of the scroll, till we come upon a newly and originally revealed and proclaimed truth subsequent unto the message of the first advent of Yahshua. It must point out the servants of the third call. The Protestant Reformation being purely an endeavor to restore old downtown truth and not to reveal new advancements had no new message of its own, nothing that had not already been taught in times past. It therefore follows that the third group and message must be sought during the years following the Reformation. The only revelation of the new prophetic truth subsequent to the Reformation is the announcement of the year in which was to begin the work of the cleansing of the sanctuary, primarily on behalf of the dead, based on Daniel 8:14, but not then fully understood. And its announcement was made by the first day Adventists. It necessarily follows that they were the third group of servants with a new and distinctive message, and as is well known, they started proclaiming it in the year of 1833, announcing that the cleansing of the sanctuary was to commence in the year of 1844. Thus, in 1833, the clock of the parabolic time struck the hour of six, meaning it showed when the sixth hour came to an end, and the new laborers were to the Millerites were to work in the seventh and the eighth and the ninth parabolic hours. From 1833 to 1844. Now, I got something else, a new insight here. A little earlier when I just read, it therefore follows that the third group, the Millerites, and message must be sought during the years following the Reformation. Well, now, the Millerites came on the scene, William Miller, in the 1820s, preparing for his ministry that started in 1833, and he was part of the Reformation. He had the fifth message of the Reformation. We always say that Luther, Martin Luther, 1500, John Knox, 1543, John Wesley, 1725, and Alexander Cromwell, 1810, represented the four main Protestant churches, and that they represented the Reformation. They were just part of the Reformation. There are seven messengers to the Reformation, and we only list name four of them just now. That was Luther, Knox, Wesley, and Cromwell, from 1500 to 1810. Now, William Miller was the fifth Reform messenger. Ellen G. White was the sixth Reform messenger, and Elijah David is the seventh Reform messenger. Seven's complete. We haven't seen this before, but we're seeing it now. So, it says, therefore, the third group and message must be sought during the years following the Reformation. And so, Vitalis tend to think that the Reformation was only from 1500 to 1810. From the Lutheran Church, Presbyterian, and Methodist, and Baptist. And then, according to Vitihala, that was all the Reformation. But the Reformation, for the first six reformers, reached from 1500 up to 1890. And Ezekiel's four prophecy sets that in place. And weren't allowed to be any longer than that. The 390-year prophecy for the Reformation, those six group of reformers. But what they didn't realize that there has to be a seventh reformer come, and that's Elijah. Elijah is the one that brings the seventh reform movement. And I mean, he's the biggest reform movement of all time, because he brings an end to the judgment of the dead, the sixth reform message by Ellen G. White, brought an end to the judgment of the dead in 2002. So actually, the six reform doctrines were active ever since Martin Luther brought the first one in 1500, righteousness by faith. Those six reform doctrines was in vogue up to 2002. But the prophecy for the Reformation to end was in 1890. Okay. So it says, The only revelation of the new prophetic truth subsequent to the Reformation is the announcement of the year in which Russia began the work of the cleansing of the sanctuary. Okay, I've done read that. So the statement again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise, and speaking of the two calls, not singly, as in the cases of the two preceding calls, but conjointly, shows that the sixth hour message and servants were to be closely related to and associated with the message and with the with the message and with the servants of the fourth call. So Miller writes, sixth hour, Adventist ninth hour, 1833 to 1844, those two were associated together with the three angels' messages, and that's all they had. Three angels. Third and fourth messengers only had the three angels' messages. So it was that the sixth hour group and message, that of the first day Adventist, and the ninth hour group and message that of the seventh day Adventist fused into one, because the message of the former was in its divinely designed was in itself divinely designed to bring the message of the latter to the light. Moreover, as soon as the terminus of the prophetic 2300 days, Daniel 8:14, was reached in October 1844, just then Daniel 8:14, Daniel 7:9-10, Daniel 12:10-12, along with Revelation 14:6-7, the first angel's message in its primary phase, that is, the first phase of the judgment, which is the judgment of the dead, as first proclaimed by the Seventh-day Adventist, saying with a loud voice, "Fear Yahweh, and give glory unto Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters," Revelation 14:7. Thus the Seventh-day Adventist in 1844 began to proclaim what they termed the investigative judgment of the dead, which in the scriptural terms is the casting out of those who have not the wedding garment on, Matthew 22:11-13, the shutting out of the five foolish virgins, Matthew 25:10, and the dividing of the sheep and goats, Matthew 25:32-33, for the separating of the bad fish from the good fish, Matthew 13:48. Each of these among the days synonymously, they rightly understood it to be the antitypical day of the atonement, the day in which are removed from the books in heaven the names of those who in the closing of their life's career fail for the attaining of the eligibility for the coming up in the first resurrection, in the resurrection of the Holy One, Revelation 20:5-6. All these aspects are comprehended in the word. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed, Daniel 8:14. As the cleansing of the sanctuary in behalf of the dead is necessarily purely a book transaction, that is the reason for it taking place only in the heavenly sanctuary. Hence, the names of the ineligible of the first resurrection are screened from the names of the eligible ones, that heaven's books deal with all aspects of life, as evident from Psalm 56:8, 69:28, Psalm 139:16, Daniel 12:1, Malachi 3:16, Philippians 4:3, Revelation 3:5, etc. Hence prophecy revealed that when the judgment was set, the books were opened, Daniel 7:10. As the judgment, our message is of a character and importance singular in all church history, also as it is the only prophetic message to sound subsequent to the sixth hour message, nothing can be more certain than that as it went forth in 1844 for the first time, Yahweh's parabolic timepiece then struck nine. Consequently, the ninth hour group in the parable can be none other than the Seventh-day Adventist, who were then on foot to proclaim that the judgment was set and the book was opened, Daniel 7:10, and that anyone who then, during the antitypical day of the atonement for the dead, should be found among the dead with his sins unconfessed, his soul not afflicted, without the wedding garment on would be cut off from among his people. Matthew 22:11-13. Leviticus 23:29. In brief, the message declared that the separation of the congregation of the dead had then begun. Now that for the first time the pebble is ablaze with light, none but the eye that has hopelessly gone out in dungeon darkness can fail to see distinctly that the message with which we Seventh-day Adventists were entrusted in 1844 at the end of the ninth hour is not the 11th hour message. No, it's the 10th hour message. And Vicki Hollis didn't put that, but I did. Not the message of general living, but rather only of the judgment of the dead. And the 11th hour message, the one at the end of the 11th hour, yes, it's the judgment for the living. But it's for those that are called to work in the 12th parabolic hour, the harvest time. As prospective servants of Yahweh, let us each here at this focal point of the parable pause a moment to fix firmly in the mind this all-important lesson as brought out in the following illustration. The next decisive point of the truth is that the judgment of the dead was to be proclaimed unto many peoples and nations and tongues and kings, Revelation 10:11. Mark the word many. It never means all and never means every. Since this verse of Scripture foretells the expansion of the ninth hour group and message, it will highly repay each one careful to examine what Revelation 10:11 says on the subject. You dare not add to the word nor subtract from it, and compare it with the Scriptures to follow foretelling the expansion of the 11th hour group and message, and you will have the whole truth in reference to the finishing of the work. Now the time has finally come for Yahweh to recruit his 12th hour servants, and Richard has 11th here, but since we're bringing this up to time, we put the word 12th in there. This priceless parable is unfolded, and for the first time it is plainly seen that whereas the judgment of the dead was proclaimed to many people and nations and proclaimed to many nations and people, the judgment of the living is to be proclaimed unto all nations and to every people on earth. Here is what inspiration itself says. Now I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear Yahweh and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Revelation 14:6-7. That the servants of the 12th hour call, those who escape, who are not cut off, Leviticus 23:29 and Isaiah 66:16-20, while the house of Yahweh is being judged, 1 Peter 4:17, the event which signalizes the commencement of the judgment of the living worldwide are to be sent to all nations. Inspiration attests through the prophet Isaiah. For behold, the Yahweh will come with the fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind. This is Yahshua, the Son. To render his anger with the fury and with his rebuke with the flames of fire. For by the fire and by his sword will the Yahshua plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Yahshua shall be many. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, the Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, the Tubal and Avan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. They shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters, and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain, Yahweh, saith the Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh. Isaiah 66:15-20. With these solemn words, Yahweh warns that the slaughter, the antipical Passover, Testimonies Volume 5, page 505, 211 Testimonies Volume 1, page 190-198, is to take place among those who are the household of Yahweh, the church, for the escaped ones are sinners, the Gentiles who as yet have not heard of Yahweh's fame and his glory. Obviously, the angels who execute this slaughter are to take away from the church the unrighteous, those who are figuratively depicted in one instant as dead fish and in another instant as guests, not having the wedding garment on. Here then, every serious-minded reader pause to ponder what inspiration says, Isaiah 66, 19 and 20. Explained that those who escape the sword of Isaiah 66, 15 and 16 are to be sent as missionaries unto the Gentiles, who as yet know not Yahweh. Hence these escaped remaining ones are Yahweh's remnant, his first fruits of the harvest, his godless servant, 144,000. The elect, and only they, none others, the scriptures declare, shall bring all their brethren from all nations in a clean vessel into the purified house of the Yeshua, house of the David, which Yeshua said from the throne of David, and the kingdom of heaven here on earth, his white house, where is more no right thinking mind can even begin to conceive of the possibility that with any less holy and formidable legacy than such a mighty ministry, one escaped from sin, sinners, and judgment, can and will the Yeshua ever finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, Romans 9:28, thereby saving his people from the terrible tempest that is now about to break upon the earth and last it length and breadth. Satan grimly knows this. He knows his time is short and growing fearfully shorter. He knows that his faithful ministry are soon to be disclosed to you and to take the field against him. He knows that will be his Waterloo. Hence his supreme effort now to eliminate them, finding out at last, though, that he cannot do so, that his consequent aim will be to bring the time of trouble such as never was down to 12:1, in the hope of destroying all. That means all of the house of Israel, number one and foremost, 144,000. But he knows Yahshua is with the 144,000. That's the reason why it says in Revelation 17:12-14, it says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. That's all the wicked nations joining up with the Catholic Church, that represents the beast, and Mystery Babylon all together. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the sovereign of sovereign and king of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So the house of David, first and foremost, 144,000, are the main ones that are with him at this time. This brings in my stuff. This is our contact. This is the 11th hour call. And some other people on our audio archive. We're going to close the service now with a song entitled, Oh, Worship the King. Worship the King of glorious above. Oh, gracefully sing his wonderful law. Our shield and defender, the ancient of days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace. His robe is a light, whose canopy stays. His chariots of wrath, the thunderclouds form, and darken his path on the wings of the storm. A bountiful care would come Kennedy's side. Breeze in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Real children of dust and feeble as frail, trust my family to fail.